Good evening, everybody. Today we have the leadership meeting over in the fellowship hall, which is why it might not be as many people in here as it normally is in here, because some of them are just over there. But I've got the mic, so I might be a little biased, but I want to say what a great job our sound man is doing. So, thank you, sound man. I appreciate it. We got some announcements, so if you are a guest here today, or if you're worshiping in person, you can head to the kiosk or go online, fill out a connection card. We want to get to know you. Giving options, you can give in the plexiglass box that is out on the kiosk, or you can mail it in, or go to the website, or the church app, or find an usher. Say, what do I do with my dollars? Next week, Friday, February 3rd, there is an all-church prayer meeting at 7 p.m. here in the sanctuary. And then the 2022 church giving statements are now available. Everyone was emailed a personal link to securely download your 22 giving statements. Please check your email, including spam and junk folders, just in case it was routed there. You can also download your statement at any time through the Church Center app or Church Center online. Any questions, please see Pastor Jessica. If we can all stand, we'll pray and we'll get started with worship. In Jesus' name, we love you. We thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. Lord God, keep your hand upon those who are unable to make the trip. Keep your hand upon those who have to travel far in this weather to get home. Lord God, I pray that you would anoint the man of God as he brings forth the word. Anoint the worship team as we invite your spirit into this service. Lord God, we thank you for the freedom to gather together to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Feel. you guys doing tonight? You can be seated. So, today is my father's birthday. Yeah. He's been around for quite a few years now. I'm not going to say how many because I don't know if he's going to try to get me back or not. And I'm going to see him tomorrow. So, if you see him, make sure to wish him a happy birthday, though. Perhaps it's coincidence, perhaps not. But on my way to church, I realized that I'm talking about another John. We're going to talk about John the Baptist. So coincidence or not, I'll just say that's how I planned it the whole time. Thanks for being alive, Dad. If you're listening, I wouldn't be here without you. John the Baptist, the forerunner to the Messiah. John's ministry literally created the path for Jesus. John's parents were Zechariah and Elizabeth. Zechariah was a priest, and Elizabeth was a daughter of Aaron. The Bible says in Luke 1 that they were righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. They had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and both were older in age. While Zechariah was in the temple burning incense, an angel appeared to him and said, "The Lord has heard your prayer, and your wife Elizabeth will bear a child. He will be great before the Lord. He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before them in the spirit and power of Elijah." Not only was John's arrival a miracle, it was also a fulfillment of prophecy. In Isaiah 40, verses 3 through 5, and it might be a little bit different, I should tell you guys, I read from the ESV, the English Standard Version. A voice cries, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Malachi 4 and verse 5 says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." His purpose was to prepare a path for the coming Messiah. And just as you would expect, John did just that. He did create a path for Jesus. In Luke 3, 9 through 15, we find out about just how big of a role John played and how big his influence was. I think I might have wrote the wrong scripture down because I'm on verse 3 here. Can you go to verse 3? Yep. "And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, which we just read, he said, 'Therefore to the crowds,'" this is verse 7 now, "'therefore to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers who warned you to flee from the wrath to come, bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees, and every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire.' And the crowd asked him, 'What then shall we do?' And he answered them, 'Whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise.' Tax collectors came to John to be baptized and said to him, 'Teacher, what shall we do?' And he said to them, 'Collect no more than you are authorized to do.' Soldiers also asked him, 'And what shall we do?' And he said to them, 'Do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusations, and be content with your wages.'" Verse 15 says, "As the people were in expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheats into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with an unquenchable fire. John's message was so powerful, people were questioning in their hearts as to whether or not he was the Christ. He then says, I baptize you with water, but he who is coming after me, he's much mightier than myself. His sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Mark 1 says, John appeared baptizing in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The Bible says all the country of Judea and Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River and confessing their sins. You must understand, John was a prophet. He was a powerful and devout man, filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. Imagine a gathering of countless people of Israel and Judah lined up to hear the message this man was preaching. He was no slouch by any means. He was focused and determined. He was devout to his mission and to righteousness. He was fully 100% committed to his calling and to his purpose. You've got to understand who we're talking about, who John was and how powerful of a ministry he had. He was able to baptize the Messiah. He preached a message on repentance and lived a life of humility. John the Baptist ended up standing up to King Herod for his relationship with his brother's wife and for all the evil that he had done. And as a result, he finds himself in prison. I'm not sure how long John had been in prison, but I know he had a lot of time to think. I've heard rumor when you're locked up in prison, you got a lot of time to think things through. And John heard what was going on and what Jesus was doing, and there was still a reason in his mind to send a messenger to ask Jesus a question. Matthew 11, 2 through 4. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of Christ, meaning he heard what he was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, are you the one to come, or shall we look for another? John hears what Jesus is doing. He knows the good works being done and sends a messenger to ask if he is the one, or is there something else, someone else we should be looking for? What more could John be looking for? All the signs are there. He knew what was going on. He knew what Jesus was doing, but he still asked the question. And Jesus answered them, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended by me. As powerful as that may be, John already heard of his works, and John is disappointed by something. Is there something that John wanted to see other than the miracles and the mighty work that Jesus was doing? Why did Jesus say, blessed is he who is not offended? Why on earth would John be offended by the prophecies being fulfilled? He no doubt had thoughts that this could be the end of his life. But John finds himself in an unsettling mental state. Though he had seen the signs at Jesus' baptism, though he had heard the voice of who he was, his confidence was still shaken. And John sent a messenger to Jesus to ask him, are you the one? Or do we search for the other? Could it be there was a prophecy yet to be fulfilled? Did John himself already declare in John 1, after seeing Jesus, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world? What then could John be looking for aside from the signs he had already seen? I Isaiah 61 verse 1 states that he being Jesus, would proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners. Could John have been expecting Jesus to free him from prison? In Matthew 3 and 12, John preaches that God will gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with an unquenchable fire. Here, John is locked up in prison for standing up to an evil leader, or in other words, one could say the chaff. And John was proclaiming it as such, and I have no doubt in my mind that John knew he himself was a productive minister and fruitful. John knew he would be considered wheat, which God would save. Why then is he locked up awaiting for his death, for standing up for truth? Perhaps John had a different thought of how it might be. Here I am locked up for standing up for truth. Here I am imprisoned for standing up to the very corruption you came to expose. Why then am I here? Why then does it seem as though I'm the one being punished? Is there some perspective I don't see? Are you the one? Or do we search for another? I sort of had it in my mind that things would be a little bit different, Jesus. Did I understand the prophecies? I've known of the prophets for years now. I've studied what to expect and what to look for. Why then does it appear at this stage of my life that I've been forgotten? Jesus responds back with a message confirming the signs, but no message responding to his imprisonment or the lack of judgment to come upon the evil leadership. John, I can confirm the signs that you hear are indeed happening. Yes, the blind see. Yes, the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended. John, I can tell you this. The signs are there and I'm doing what I was set out to do. Judgment will come, but you need to know an important element of why I'm here. I'd rather speak life than destruction. I'd rather preach forgiveness than judgment. I'd rather people be fruitful than chopped down. Judgment will come, but it's not today. And blessed is he who is not offended by it. John, now is not the time to doubt. All of what you worked for is coming to pass. Your ministry hasn't been in vain. You can go on to the next life knowing that you did what you were called to do and your purpose was fulfilled. Don't be offended by me. You're going to get my blessing on the other side. This is the problem the Pharisees had with Jesus, because when it seemed perfect by the law to execute judgment, he gave grace and empathy. But with them and their experiences, they were trying to do ministry, and they expected a boy or a well done, and he gave them correction and discipline. They didn't understand why it was that Jesus would give grace to one and correction to another. This person caught in crimes punishable by death. Why do you say, and so it was tradition and law to do one thing, Jesus chose to do another. If it seemed fit to execute judgment, then let's hear it. This person was caught doing the worst of all the crimes. What do you say about it, Jesus? Should we kill her? Talking about the woman caught in the act, Jesus responds, first of all, I'd like to profess concerning the law, you all have sinned. This is my version. This is a paraphrase. You are all guilty. He who is without sin cast the first stone. But you need to know something right off the bat about Jesus and his ministry. He'd rather bring life than death. Don't you know that hell was never designed for mankind? It was never meant for us in the first place. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that we should all come into everlasting life. He didn't come to exclude anybody. He came to proclaim life to his creation and restoration to what was broken at the fall way back in the garden. And blessed is he who is not offended. Everywhere Jesus went, he was seeking to bring life to the dead, joy in exchange for sadness. He was trying to give a positive, uplifting, life-changing experience to those who were in need. The Pharisees, no doubt, would be frustrated with who he chose to accept and those he chose to cast away. How could it be he called me a viper and said I was full of evil so I couldn't speak good things? He executed criticism and correction towards me, who has been trying to do the right thing my whole life, but extended an olive branch to the downcasted of society. How could it be that a minister such as a Pharisee could be talked to in such a way, but yet the worst sinners we find he gave grace and love to? Doesn't he know the very law we have been following since we could remember, and that it states we are to kill those caught in such acts? And I can imagine, going back to John, what his thoughts might have been being in prison for being good, punished for doing the right thing. I can think of the responses that might be given to him by someone like myself. Have faith, John. Well, we don't always understand everything, you know. You've served God your whole life, you know. Don't doubt him now. How could it be that a man of God, a prophet as great as yourself, is asking these questions in the first place? Pick yourself up by your bootstraps. That's a favorite. You spent how many years of your life prophesying this man to come, and now you don't even know if he's the man you worked for or not. Jesus recognized exactly what John needed. He needed to know the mission was accomplished before he could move on to the next life. He needed to hear what Jesus' response would be before he could be comfortable going to the other side. Did I do what my purpose was to do? Or do I look for a way out so that I can continue working to pave the way for the Messiah? See, Jesus, I've been working for a dream I had, or a vision. In my reading, I found in Ezekiel that the Messiah to come would heal the sick, the lame would walk, the blind would see, and the poor would have the gospel preached. And I just can't stop fighting until I know that that man is here. But I also prophesied of judgment, the judgment he would bring upon those that did evil. I prophesied to the Pharisees about the cutting down of the tree that wouldn't bear fruit in Matthew 3 and 10. And John states, the axe is laid to the root of the trees, and every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit, is cut down and thrown into the fire. John says, bear fruit. This is to the Pharisees when they came to him. Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. If you truly were repentant, you would produce different results by your changed actions. So let judgment be upon your house, and let the chaff be burned with unquenchable fire. So Jesus, knowing the inner thoughts of John and what he was looking to hear, sends back a message. Go tell John, the lame walk, the blind see, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. John, I know what you're looking for. There's no doubt in what you've done in your mission. John, because of you and your hard work, because of you and how much time you invested, I'm able to do my work and restore what was broken, and you're going to get my blessing. See, John prophesied of the cutting down of the tree that didn't bear fruit, but Jesus brought a parable into the picture in Luke 13, 6 and 9. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, look, for 3 years now, I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? And he answered him, sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and I put it on fertilizer or manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, then you can cut it down. Just give it one more season before you chop it out. Just give it one more chance to bear fruit. I know you cut down the unproductive, unyielding fruit, but please just give it one more chance. The idea of another shot, another chance at getting a season of nurturing. Maybe if the plant gets some nutrients it can produce. Maybe there's something in the soil that's causing issues. Just give it one more chance. John, you may be seeking the judgment, but I wish that it would, John, you may be seeking the judgment, but I wish that it wouldn't come. I wish that everyone would produce fruit and be effective pieces in the kingdom. You need to understand that Jesus' ministry was to bring life, not death. Jesus goes on to talk about John and say some very, very kind words as the people or his messengers were walking away. As they went away, they being John's disciples, to deliver the message, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Truly I say to you, among those born of woman, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. John got one of the highest recognitions in Scripture, yet he never heard a word of those words. He heard none of it. The most perfect man born of woman. So the most perfect man ever to live, the only man not included, would be Adam. If the musicians would come, please. It was only natural to have some questions in the state he was in. How could he, being human, not have questions about the signs and have a desire to see every one of them fulfilled? There was one lesson to learn that he had to learn from Jesus while he was in prison. Judgment will come, but I wish that it wouldn't. I desire to repair and fix, not destroy and cut down. That's the word today if you haven't got it. Even if the Pharisees themselves asked for forgiveness with a pure heart, I would forgive them for their sins too. And Jesus is still working on the Jews to this very day, praying that they would turn to him and turn away from their tradition that's blinded them. So if God is willing to speak life and forgiveness, restoration, what do you need from God today? If you'll stand, please. It's very easy to see how the world has responded to not just our religion, but just churches as a whole. And there's a message about the Egyptians or the Israelites having to go and get food from the Egyptians. And Egypt is symbolic of the world. And sometimes what the world is saying about the church, it's true. Social media puts all our thoughts out there. It's been preached about many a times, but you can see people's stances on things. Sometimes it's not always about just being right. What color do you prefer, red or blue? The donkey or the elephant, right? Politics, division. And I've watched debates that Christians have had who I've known with people who were in the world, and they got sucked into a trap because it was never about the debate. But they got so stuck on being right about a point that they completely missed the need. Sometimes judgment will be necessary. But what do you choose to do with your time and with your words? Are you trying to speak life? Because that's what Jesus did. What path, if you look back at your conversations, what path do you lead? Is there destruction behind you? There's been many stories of people who have been affected for their entire lives by just one person who stood in front of them with empathy rather than judgment. They chose to recognize the state that they were in, not 100%, because you can't understand anybody's life like they can, but just try to see where you're coming from. I've learned being married, sometimes she doesn't want an answer from me. She just wants me to be quiet and listen. You know, let's fix it. Any guys like that? No? So today, if we can just come up here and get a fresh perspective of what Jesus wants us to be to the world today. An updated mindset, perhaps, or maybe it's a mindset from way back in the day that life causes us to lose track of. But if we can refocus ourselves on what God would like for us to be to this generation, I think we should just come up here and find a spot at the altar and pray in Jesus' name.
Trust what you say.